Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
As the seagulls rest on the cold cannon nest, the sea is churning. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo.
40 years ago, one musician offered all the news that's fit to sing. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today, a new documentary pays tribute to the activist and protest singer Phil Oakes. And later, banjo player Abigail Washburn. She gained notoriety by fusing Appalachian folk with Chinese music. She joins us today with a new album and a new sound. But first, the political folk singer Phil Oakes was a hero to the 60s protest generation. His verses were ripped right from the headlines. He sang about everything from the Vietnam War to the civil rights movement to the coup in Chile. As the idealism of the 60s declined, so did Phil Oakes. The singer suffered from manic depression and took his own life in 1976. But a new film hopes to revive this idealistic singer's voice and story for a new generation. Kenneth Bowser is director of the documentary Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune, and he's here with us in the studio. Ken, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So when we look at Phil Oakes, here's a guy who appeared on the New York folk scene, same scene, same time as Bob Dylan. Two very different trajectories, two very politically, very pointed singer-songwriters. One becomes this icon and the other disappears. What happened?
Well, it helps to stay alive, to continue your legacy and you know, to keep creating music, which Bob
although
Dylan
the cynic
done.
In me would say that dying is often a very good career move.
Yeah, I know. It was Elvis's birthday the other day. You know, comparing these two artists is an odd thing. I mean, Phil seems to be the only one kind of living in Dylan's shadow. Tom Paxton, Gordon Lightfoot, any of these other people, no one says, oh, they were second or third to Dylan. Only Phil gets kind of put in that position, which is kind of interesting.
Is that because back in the day there were people saying, well, Phil Oakes is really number one and Dylan is number two?
Yeah, I think it is to some degree. I think I think that Mr. Dylan left the more obvious political songwriting much earlier than Phil did. And for a lot of that audience, perhaps that was disappointed in Dylan leaving the political movement. Phil was their champion. I don't want to, you know, Dylan is a genius, and no one questions that at all. It's just fascinating that Phil always gets kind of put in his shadow in a way that no one else does.
Well, and for a large group of people who were born after, say, 1970, there's no shadow. There's just nothing.
Yeah, Phil's been written out of history to a great extent. There was a PBS program on the protest song movement about 2 or 3 years ago, and a 2-hour program, Phil wasn't mentioned. And however you view Phil's artistry, wherever you put him in the rank, there's no question that he was probably the most important protest singer of the 1960s.
And when you say that, you're qualifying it by what you said earlier, which is Dylan sort of left the kind of specific, taken from the headlines, protest songwriting.
Yeah, his music became much more general, personal, in a way that was a little hard to see through. Phil also always wore his emotions and his beliefs on his sleeve. You could always see where he was coming from. And to some degree, he was very happy to bite the hand that feeds him. I mean, he took on, Love Me, I'm a Liberal and some other songs. He took on the left when he felt they weren't living up to his idea of idealism.
Now, when you are specific, there's always the risk that a song that's too specific is tied to a place and time. Blowing in the Wind by Dylan, you know, that's, as long as there are people on earth, that song will be relevant. A song like I Ain't Marching Anymore is pretty close to attaining that level. I mean, you know, it seems a part of the human condition that as long as there are people in countries, there will be armies. And this song by Phil Oakes, this really was one of his great protest songs from the 60s. As discussed in Ken Bowser's film called Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune.
Oh, I marched to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more a-dying, but I ain't a-marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't marching anymore.
I ain't marching anymore. Phil Oakes from 1965. We're speaking with Ken Bowser, who's the director of the acclaimed new documentary called Phil Oakes, There But for Fortune. And it just strikes me, I ain't marching anymore, how much of a piece that is with The Eternal Soldier. You know,
well, not only this song, but unfortunately, in many ways, a lot of Phil's material is completely relevant to what's going on today. More every day, it seems like another part, Too Many Martyrs. It just goes on and on that these songs are unfortunately relevant.
Now, when you mention Too Many Martyrs, I mean, that's a song that Phil recorded back in 1964, and it's a song that Kim and Reggie Harris recorded a version of, and Kim Harris, half of Kim and Reggie Harris, obviously, is also joining us here in the studio. And first of all, Kim, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much.
Why is Phil Oakes so relevant so many years after his death at his own hand?
I think for Reggie and I, it really feels, you know, just as you all have been talking about, that the songs continue to speak to the human condition, and particularly the condition in terms of oppression of communities and wars going on and on and on. I mean, actually, Saturday night, Reg and I did a performance, and we opened it with I Ain't Marching Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what there's a group of performers that are continuing to do Phil Oakes songs, really at the urging of his sister, Sonny. And there are times when we'll perform these Phil Oakes song nights. We'll do one Phil song and one of our songs,
mm-hmm.
just to, you know, really let people know that political writing is still going on. But what happens in songs like I Ain't Marching Anymore, a songwriter by the name of John Flynn, who performs that song a lot, and he was singing with us the other night, he added an extra verse. And he says, now we stand in the shadow where the towers once stood, and we scream, we must even up the score, call it, and then he goes back to Phil's words, call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, I ain't marching anymore. So every now and again we'll do these little updates, but you don't have to do a whole lot of tweaking of Phil's songs to have them still be relevant.
Now, the civil rights movement was a big part of what he sang about. It's big. You guys, you and Reggie, have done a whole album of, like, from Underground Railroad
to civil rights.
Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that that was very specific to the time, but which seems to have a kind of lasting resonance. Here is Phil Oakes at the Newport Folk Festival in 1963 when he had just gotten back from Birmingham.
Well, I think whenever there's a deep tragedy, there's also present something of the ridiculous, which is also true about integration. So I'm sure you'll remember a little town called Birmingham. So I'd like to do you a song now called Talking Birmingham Jam. Walking down to Birmingham, way down south in Dixieland, I thought that I would stop a while, take a vacation southern style. Got some southern hospitality down there in a southern hospital. Well, I've seen travel in many ways. I've traveled in cars and old subways. But in Birmingham, some people chose to fly down the street from a fire hose. Doing some hard traveling from hydrants aplenty.
Phil Oakes from the Newport Folk Festival 1963, and that is from Kenneth Bowser's film, the documentary called Phil Oakes, There But for Fortune. And Ken, you've got, I mean, we heard, you wove in some actual footage of Birmingham, the water cannons, et cetera.
Yeah.
What I like about that song, and some of my favorite Phil Oakes songs are the ones, he says it in the beginning, it's whenever there's something really big in the news, whether for better or worse, often worse, he was always able to find something kind of ridiculous, something funny. You know, it wasn't like he was just kind of nagging at you.
Yeah,
there was often this wit.
His arguably one of his most famous songs is called Outside of a Small Circle of Friends, and it is a very funny song about people being murdered and other horrific events, and kind of in a witty musical way, he brings you in and makes you feel, I'm laughing. Oh, wait a minute, I'm responsible. You know, social justice is, you know, Phil doesn't go out of fashion,
right,
because of, you know, social justice was what he was interested in.
And that song about, you know, Small Circle of Friends, all about apathy. It's like, you know, I'm sure it wouldn't interest anybody outside of a small circle of friends. Kim, so.
Yes.
He comes back from Birmingham. He's right on the case. He's got this song. I mean, he's responding very quickly. You said a moment ago that there is still this kind of songwriting going on.
There is still this kind of songwriting going on.
Why don't we know more about it?
Well, there were times in the 1960s where political songwriting was the top 40. And so it was being heard on the radio so much. And now these days, you know, I'm a student, but I also teach up at Union Theological Seminary. I teach about spirituals. I teach about freedom songs. And then I ask, what are the songs that people are singing these days? And some of the songs, you can hear a political bent to them, but because they're made for constant replay in a top 40 venue, it'd be harder to use them to march to.
Hmm.
It'd be harder to use them to galvanize a community, whereas you know, some of these songs, like I Ain't Marching Anymore, you can pick up that chorus very quickly and join in singing, even if you've never heard the song before. And that's what helped that song in particular to really galvanize a whole group of people.
So when you and Reggie, as Kim and Reggie Harris, do an old Phil Oakes song, or indeed one of the new ones, do people say, yes, why are you still doing this?
Not for I Ain't Marching Anymore, they don't.
Yeah. Well,
we were talking a little bit earlier about the song Too Many Martyrs. And there are times when we sing that song that's about the murder of Medgar Evers. And when we sing that song, part of it is teaching a history that sometimes the younger generation and sometimes the, what would we say, more seasoned generation
nicely done
does not even know about.
Uh-huh.
So some of it is teaching the history, but we always, you know, as I was saying earlier, we always tweak it a little bit and add, you know, add a little bit of something from the news.
Let's hear a little bit of the Phil Oakes original from 1964, Too Many Martyrs.
Oh, let it never be again. His name was Medgar Evers, and he walked his road alone, like Emmett Till and thousands more whose names we'll never know. They tried to burn his home and they beat him to the ground, but deep inside they both knew what it took to bring him down. Too many martyrs.
All the news that's fit to sing, the 1964 album by Phil Oakes. Now here's that same song, Too Many Martyrs, by Kim and Reggie Harris. That's Kim and Reggie Harris and their version of Too Many Martyrs. And as Kim was just telling us, these songs still resonate even in an age when we don't, when protest singing doesn't have the same visibility it had back in Phil Oakes' day in the 1960s. We're speaking as well with Kenneth Bowser, the director of the new documentary Phil Oakes, There But for Fortune. Ken, have you been surprised by the response to a guy whose star seemed to have dimmed beyond, you know, recognition?
I have been very happily surprised. I mean, the theaters have been full, actually, and I just heard from Portland this morning where they had a screening last night, and hundreds of people showed up. I wanted to amplify on something that Kim was saying. You know, one of the reasons, I don't think the protest movement has gone away at all. It's just been, in the 60s, it was mostly about two subjects, civil rights and the Vietnam War, and now it's kind of spread out to 100 different issues, and people tend to focus on the thing that is important to them, the issue that they can affect. And I think with that, Phil's specificity would have done very well now.
Mm. Well, there are many other questions that I still want to get to. You know, the whole question of his whole mental state during this time, and he did not respond well to the events of the Democratic Convention of 1968 and the Nixon administration, et cetera. But Ken, I want to take a quick break. But before we do, why did you make this film?
Because I loved his music. I grew up listening to his music. I met him once. I loved his music, and I thought he'd been forgotten. And I thought it was an amazing story that mirrored what happened in the 60s. I mean, it was his life. You can see this time through the prism of his heart.
And through his mental state as well, which we can a thread we can pick up in a moment. We're speaking with Ken Bowser, the director of the documentary Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune, and Kim Harris, the folk singer and half of the duo Kim and Reggie Harris. And Soundcheck listeners, have you been influenced or touched by Phil Oakes' music? You can give us a call at 212-433-WNYC or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. Again, that number, 212-433-WNYC. We'll talk more about the new Phil Oakes documentary and take calls in a moment. And later, a different kind of folk revolutionary, singer and banjo player Abigail Washburn. She has in the past mixed Appalachian folk with Chinese influences. We'll hear what she's up to these days in just a little while.
Judge and the generals claim jurisdiction, the faithful assemble, the crowd starts to tremble.
Oh, look outside the window, there's a woman being grabbed. They've dragged her to the bushes, and now she's being stabbed. Maybe we should call the cops and try to stop the pain.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We were talking about this song a few minutes ago, Outside of a Small Circle of Friends. That's a favorite of mine from the great protest singer Phil Oakes. We've been talking about his life and legacy with Ken Bowser, who's the director of the new documentary about Phil Oakes, and the folk singer Kim Harris, who still performs some of Phil Oakes' songs as half of the duo Kim and Reggie Harris. All right, so Ken, you said before the break that we really could find in his life a kind of mirror of what was happening in the wider American culture in the late 60s, early 70s. And as things from a leftist protest singer's point of view went downhill, so did he.
Yeah, I there's no question that he kind of he rose with the movement at the beginning of the 60s, and as it kind of came apart at the end of the 60s, specifically the Chicago Democratic Convention in Chicago in 68. He did an album right after called Rehearsals for Retirement that has a tombstone on the cover, and it says, Phil Oakes, born El Paso, Texas, died Chicago, Illinois in 1968, with a little monument on the front. It affected him deeply, and I think, as John Baez says in the film, you know, a lot of people didn't know what to do as the movement came apart. Some people were able to move on and sing more personal songs, and Phil, he really, if he was connected to something, he was much better. And the one time he kind of got his act together at the in the middle of the 70s, not too long before he died, was for a benefit for Salvador Allende after mm-hmm. after the coup in Chile. He helped organize an event at Madison Square Garden that really kind of told the world that the CIA had taken part in this coup, and Dylan, a friend, and various other people showed up, Pete Seeger, everybody from the kind of early 60s. It was a reunion and led to, in many ways, to the Rolling Thunder reveal.
And it's funny how many of the sort of the demarcations in the film are assassinations. You know, the Kennedys, of course, but also Medgar Evers. And in Chile, Victor Jara, the songwriter who was brutally murdered by the Pinochet, you know, in that coup, was kind of a friend. I mean, they had gotten to be friends.
They had Phil loved to travel the world. He was in South Africa. He recorded world music before any 20 years before anyone else in America was doing it. And he spent a lot of time in South America and became friends with Victor Jara, the great South American folk singer, who was really the Bob Dylan of South America,
right.
who was murdered in the coup. And Phil was so deeply wounded and upset by this. While he did manage to pull together this benefit, it was yet another assassination, as you said, and of someone he knew. He knew mm-hmm. Robert Kennedy. You know, he knew Victor Jara. These were people he had been close to, and he watched them killed.
It's enough to drive a man to drink, and his troubles with alcohol were well documented. But, you know, it's 1968, 1972. How much did people know about bipolar back then?
I don't think mental illness was on everyone's conversation level at some point. He was in deep trouble, and his family, Sonny, Michael, the various people.
Michael's his brother.
Yes, tried to get him help, and everyone, all of his friends tried. But manic depression is a very difficult illness, and when you add alcohol on top of it, it becomes completely unwieldy. And that's
so
what happened.
The disappointment that so many others felt was too much for him in the 1970s.
Yes, and it also connected with his kind of his chasing fame. I mean, his fame was so connected to the movement, and where Dylan had in some ways disconnected, at least again, from the specific political in the early 60s before it all came apart. Phil stayed part of it as it all came apart and chronicled that. And less people are interested in failure than are interested in success.
Well, and as you said before, he was not afraid of biting the hand that fed him. If the liberal, you know, if the left wing was not, you know, if they were talking the talk and not walking the walk, he would call them on it, as he does in this song called Love Me, I'm a Liberal from 1966. Here he is explaining the philosophy behind the song.
In every American community, you have varying shades of political opinion. One of the shadiest of these is the liberals. 10 degrees to the left of center in good times, 10 degrees to the right of center if it affects them personally.
I cried when they shot Medgar Evers. Tears ran down my spine. And I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. But Malcolm X got what was coming. He got what he asked for this time. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
That is Phil Oakes from 1966, the subject of the documentary Phil Oakes There But for Fortune, which, of course, is another great song. And
and actually,
Joan
Love
Baez,
Me, I'm a
Liberal. Right?
Yes, Joan Baez did that. And it's interesting because Love Me, I'm a Liberal is a song that's sung these days, you know, during the Phil Oakes song nights. And people still, you see them kind of shifting in their chairs, feeling a little uncomfortable.
Well, isn't that why we're still, in a sense, why we are still talking about this man?
I
mean, is there a sort of a feeling of deja vu as you listen to these old songs, or Ken, as you listen to some of the old clips from those days?
Yeah, it's we're definitely in the cycle again. You know, the terrible events in Arizona the last few days, And in the film, there's this, Richard Nixon gives a speech about turning over the security of South Vietnam to the Vietnamese, who have now learned from us how to run a democracy. I mean, it's startling how much you could run this film and just replace it with someone from today, and you'd be dealing with the same issues.
Let's take some calls. Leslie is joining us on the line from Elmont on Long Island. Leslie, have a memory of Phil Oakes?
Oh, absolutely. And it was the winter of 1964. I was a college student at City College. A bunch of us, City and Columbia, joined this committee for miners, which was helping to collect food for the coal miners in Hazard, Kentucky. We went down there Christmas time, and Phil was there singing at the Union Hall until the companies threatened to blow it up, and then we ended up dispersing to people's houses, and we get to see housing in the hollows of Kentucky.
Mm.
He was a wonderful person.
So, and I mean, it just sort of goes by real quickly in your story there, Leslie, but the idea that they might have actually blown up this venue, you took that seriously enough that everybody had to leave.
Well, yeah, they dispersed us out into the people's homes, and they were very gracious and wonderful.
All right.
So I'm glad Phil is being remembered. He was a great guy.
Thanks for the call, Leslie. Nathan from Huntington Station, also memories of Phil Oakes. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, how are you?
You're an old friend of Phil's?
Yes, I met him in Harry Smith's room at the Chelsea Hotel, and I just want to tell this one story. You know, he wasn't very well when I met him. It was about maybe about 3 or 4 months. Maybe about 6 months before he died, but he told me the story that he had just seen Bob Dylan at the Chelsea Hotel, and he pulled him up by the scruff of the collar and said, "You blew it, buddy. You could have been William Shakespeare." And Dylan had just recorded Blood on the Tracks, and he said, "Well, what about Blood on the Tracks?" And he said, "Well, it was good, but it wasn't good enough."
So a hard man to please, huh?
I tell you, I loved him very much, and I knew him at the end of his life, and I miss him so absolutely much.
Nathan, thanks very much. And I think that's actually a pretty good place to leave it. We've been remembering Phil Oakes today with Ken Bowser. He's director of the documentary Phil Oakes, There But For Fortune. And Kim Harris, folk singer and half of the duo Kim and Reggie Harris, who continue to keep alive a number of Phil Oakes songs. Ken, Kim, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And still to come, singer and banjo player Abigail Washburn performs with her band. They'll perform songs from her latest album in the Soundcheck studio.
All the time when I'm gone, all the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe the bracing air when I'm gone.